Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
I served the Roman Empire. I fought wars against those who did not believe in our gods. But nothing could prepare me for the truth that is now. Risen.
He was very special.
They're fanatics.
What was his name?
He was called Yeshua.
The man's dead. His followers are in hiding.
He's been a threat.
Take control out there and finish things.
The tomb is sealed. Guard it with your life.
If this body vanishes,
we have a potential Messiah.
Where has he gone?
You tell me.
You will track down the corpse of Yeshua.
Go! Go!
What happened to the Nazarene?
He's right here. Open your heart and see.
That's the trailer of the movie Risen. It's one of those sword and sandal dramas. It's got big star power, and it tells the story of the resurrection of Jesus, where Jesus actually rises. There is no question in the course of this movie's plot that Jesus was dead and is alive again. How it tells the story, does it hold to the New Testament? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois, on this Monday afternoon, the 7th of March. The listener with the best question or comment in the next half hour, as we review the movie Risen, we'll receive a $40 gift card to AMC Theaters. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Go to our Facebook fan page where we have left space for your questions or your comments on the movie Risen, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. A little bit later, we're going to be talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. The Top Three Verses series continues. The Devil's Destruction at the Cross. We'll talk about the top three verses that deal with that with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Joining us for our review of the movie Risen, Part 2, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Start with a question from Jeff in Lithia, Florida, asking the question, which character is portrayed as the star of the movie Risen? Is it the Christ who rises from the dead, or is it the Roman officer who finds him?
It is the Roman officer named Clavius who finds him. That is the real central character of the film. It's kind of maybe a good thing to think about is that this is the story of the movie. The movie is about a Roman tribune. It's a fictional character, played by Joseph Fiennes, and he is embroiled in, connected to the crucifixion of Jesus, and he's there at the point where they put the spear in the side of Jesus, and he sees Jesus dead, and then he's also involved in sealing the tomb, setting the guard, and then he's tasked with the job of finding Jesus after Easter morning when the body is no longer there. He, of course, assumes that he's going to find a dead body, but he finds the risen Jesus. So Jesus is the main point of, or the main focus of, the whole film in terms of that is who Clavius is looking for, but Clavius is the main character.
Is that necessarily a weakness in the film itself, in your opinion?
It's probably not necessarily a weakness. I think that once you do actually get to Jesus, like the more I think about it, and even while I was watching it, I have a very high, like, standard of what I want when I see Jesus in a movie, and it didn't match that. It's not as good as it could be in that regard. So once you do finally find Jesus, once you're having those interactions with him, you know, maybe I would like it to be better than it is. But again, I have very high standards when it comes to that.
William in Laneway, Texas, has a question saying, overall, I thought The Risen was a good movie, certainly better than the average Christian movie over the last few years. One thing that stuck out like a sore thumb was that they left baptism out of the Great Commission. Have the writers directors explained why they made the decision to leave that out?
I have not tracked down what the writer and director, because the director was involved in writing, what he thought about that in that regard. But just looking at the actual movie itself and seeing how it plays out, there's a reason why, I think, narratively speaking, that they've left that out. Now, is that good? Is it good that they left it out? Like, we'll talk about that here in a little bit, too. But this is the reason why. Now, like, we don't like to really completely spoil a movie. So this is fair warning. This next thing I'm going to say spoils the movie if you've not seen it, I guess, on a certain level. The movie begins and ends with this framing device. So Clavius, everything has happened. It's all done. He's walking in the wilderness by himself. He comes across this little like hovel, and there's a guy in there, and he sits down, and he's kind of bewildered, Clavius is, and he starts getting asked questions by this guy because he's a Roman soldier just wandering around by himself in the wilderness. And then he starts to kind of tell the story. So then at the end of the movie, you get back to that little hovel in the wilderness with the guy asking him questions. So now you've seen the story as told to you, presumably kind of by Clavius, and he gets asked now again, well, what do you believe about all of this? And the very last thing that he says is, I believe I will never be the same. And then he takes off his Roman tribune ring, and that's the end of the movie. So a couple things to kind of keep in mind with that is that you don't really get punctuation when he says that. So, you could read it as, I believe, period, I will never be the same, right? Which is not a definitive statement about Clavius's faith in the risen Lord Jesus. He's just like, I've experienced this thing. I don't know what to make about it. I'm not going to be the same afterwards. Or, I believe, comma, I will never be the same. Or, I believe I will never be the same, period. In which case, it could also be, then I believe. Like, that's his confession of faith. I believe now, and I will never be the same. Well, then that's a totally different thing. Now, why I think maybe it is that he actually believes in Jesus, granted, this is a person, this is a fictional character who has had no catechetical instruction, you know, essentially. But the reason I think that he ends off at the end of the movie as being somebody who believes is that he takes that ring off. So the ring that he was wearing is this Roman tribune ring, and he was they make it very clear in the movie that he was a follower of Mars, the god of war. But there is a scene in it, and we talked about that in the first review, where he prays to Yahweh, the Jewish god, and not to Mars. And he asks for, you know, something that he can go on in the midst of all of this. And he promises that he will, have, games in his honor and build him buildings to Yahweh. This is what he says. So at the end of the movie, him taking that ring off is him saying, I no longer believe in Mars. That's the way I take that. I no longer believe in Mars, the god of war. I now believe in Yeshua. Now, he doesn't know much about Yeshua, like Jesus. He doesn't know much about him. He has not been a catechized person, like in terms of this fictional character. But that's the way I took the very end of the film. So maybe some people might see it as being a little ambiguous. Now, how does that all relate back to baptism? Okay, so if you have him, like you've had this character now go along, and one of the last things that happens is this, he's at the Ascension, and he sees Jesus go. And if you had at the Ascension then, Jesus say to the disciples that are present, go and baptize, they would instantly look over to Clavius and say, well, here's one. Let's baptize this guy right now. And if you do that at that point in the movie, then that framing narrative and leaving it a mystery as to what Clavius is going to think to the very last frame of the film isn't going to work. So I think that there's a narrative reason why they didn't have baptism of the Ascension. Now, personally for me, I don't like that. I like baptism at the Ascension because I guess I favor Matthew 28. But again, if you look at the Great Commission from Mark's Gospel, it doesn't have that there in the same sort of way exactly. Although it does talk about baptism as well there. But this is why I think they did it the way that they did it, is they want to leave him, the audience, wondering what Clavius is going to make of all of it until the very end.
With about a minute before we take a break, in this film, does the Roman soldier character, is he apparently impacted in any way by the death of Jesus? Or is it... this is just another routine death that he's witnessed as many, tasked with trying to track down the body of Jesus. It is until the resurrection or an encounter with the resurrected Christ that this really starts to mean anything to him.
Exactly. He is not, at the moment of the actual death, he's more befuddled by all of it. And he's like, it's just another crucifixion. Why is this such a fuss going on with all of this? I mean, they do show like the darkness happening, and the earthquake is part of it. But when he arrives at the crucifixion, it's the centurion who's having the moment, just like in Scripture. So the centurion is relaying to him some of the stuff that happened at the crucifixion. You know, and you can see that the centurion, who says that, you know, like before he died, he said it is finished. The centurion is the one who's reporting that to Clavius. The centurion, he's the guy who's had the profound experience watching Christ's death. You know, he, like, Clavius just shows up right at the very end. So for him, the big profound moment is actually when he walks into the upper room and he sees Jesus on the, I guess it would be the Sunday after Easter morning. He kind of like breaks in on the room as Jesus is there with Thomas and the other disciples. And that's the moment where it's the big moment for him. And then through the rest of the film, he carries on.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest reviewing the movie Risen Part 2 on this Monday afternoon, March 7th. We are giving away a $40 AMC gift card to the listener with the best question or comment for Pastor Giese as we review the movie Risen. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Send us an email with your question or comment, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or leave your question or comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. When we come back, your questions for Pastor Ted Giese on the movie Risen.
Just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260 952-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Part two of our review of the movie Risen. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Risen at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. The next question comes from Mike in Lufkin, Texas, asking, what did the movie Risen say or seem to say about salvation in Christ alone?
Well, it doesn't really actually say that. And that's something that's, upon reflection, is kind of an irksome thing for a lot of people. It just says this is this unusual thing that happened, essentially. It assumes, I think, a lot of the viewer. So, you know, if the audience is a Christian audience, they're going to assume, now and again, remember, you know, the gospel assumed is the gospel denied. Now, is that the purpose and reason of what the filmmakers are trying to do? Are they trying to get that message across? I don't think they are. I think that they're interested in the idea of what a person who didn't believe, who had personal contact with this, might think, what their experience would be if they got caught up in the middle of this greatest of miracles, the penultimate, the most amazing of all miracles. So it doesn't have that in there. It's, you know, Yahweh is the Jewish God. The Romans have their gods. There isn't a indication that salvation is only through Christ. And it could have been there umpteen times over, especially in the third act of the film. It could have been there off of the lips of Peter, off of the lips of any of the other disciples. It's almost more like a Freudian kind of like strange activity that just this unexplained thing happened, and now Clavius is trying to puzzle out what does this mean for him.
Becky in St. Louis has the question, is this a movie about finding the truth and therefore faith, or more of a period piece that just so happens to coincide with biblical topics?
It's certainly, it's done as a period piece kind of thing. It's not as, like, I've been to Israel and it's shot in Spain. So it doesn't look like Israel. It doesn't look like Jerusalem. You know, so that it has a, you know, it's not a perfect period piece, like where they go to the painstaking, you know, details of actually going to the location and doing it like that. But in the end, it's a Christian film, it's not trying to come at it as a secular historian would. It's certainly interested in the idea of the risen Jesus, and Jesus is risen from the dead in the film. So I guess the answer is that it is a historical drama in a way. They do take some effort in making sure that it's pretty accurate on a certain level, not as much as maybe the most fastidious would. But it is, in terms of like finding the truth, he's trying to find the truth of what happened to that body. And the truth of what happened to the body is that it's not a dead body anymore. But what does that mean is something that, or why is that important, is maybe something that the film doesn't quite dot all of its I's and cross all of its T's on.
Chris listens in Spring, Texas. Chris says many people believe that any movie with a Christian theme is God-sent to be used for outreach and evangelism. Some even claim that after viewing some of these films, people have given their lives to Christ or have come to Jesus watching these types of films. Should any movie be considered outreach or evangelism? That's his first question.
I suppose somebody could use this movie in that way. I suppose they could. However, it would be very, very, and I'm going to say very important, of the most importance, is that if it could be in a setting where there are people who've watched the movie and then you're going to talk about it afterwards, let's say, or you just sat down in the movie theater with a friend, or your friend went and saw the movie and you went and saw the movie and now you're standing at the water cooler. You need to be able to, afterwards, with anything like this, because this movie does not do it on its own. It does not answer the who, what, where, when, and why equally when it comes to what happened at the crucifixion, what happened at Easter, what happened at the Ascension, what happened in those days between. It doesn't answer those very accurately, like especially not evenly so, right? So, you would have to be a bit of an apologetic person. You would certainly have to be able to say, well, Scripture, says that it's, the Ascension happened 40 days afterwards. So the movie kind of compresses the time in there. It isn't 40 days of activities that go on between the Easter morning and the Ascension, as it's portrayed in the movie. So, directing people back to Scripture, directing them to what was the reason for Jesus' death, the fact that he died for, the sins of the world and for your sins personally, and that his resurrection means the death of death and, your sins being left nailed to the cross. Those are the kinds of things that the movie just does not get across sufficiently for it to be true evangelistic outreach. But it is an entree towards conversation. I would say that it would open up some conversation.
Nathaniel listens in Minnesota. Thanks for your work on issues, etc. As a confessional Lutheran, I appreciate being able to keep up with what's going on in Lutheranism and the world through your interviews. A question about Risen. Whenever we have a movie presentation of a biblical account, there's a danger that the features and thoughts presented in the movie make a powerful impression on viewers. Sometimes those impressions are placed so powerfully in their memory that they think back on the account for years to come. They believe that the Bible actually presents some fact that it really doesn't because they saw it in the movie. That's quite true. The way to counteract that problem is the study of the gospel record to see what is true and what is some director's addition to the Bible. Should we encourage people to study the movie or see the movie if they don't do Bible study to separate truth from fiction? He says, thanks for your thoughts.
Yeah, you know what? All sorts of people are going to see it, and some people are going to be more biblically literate than others. Whoever sees it, if you're having a conversation with somebody and they are interested in the story, then whoever they are, whatever their situation, even if they're like an avowed atheist, tell them to get a Bible and read it. Read the Gospels. Read Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, for sure. Like, have a look at some of this stuff. So this should be looked at as an encouragement towards getting into the text. And we talk about this all the time. Like when we talked about the movie Noah and we talked about Exodus, Gods and Kings, we always say that with these movies, you need to go and read the text. You got to read the text. You read it before you go see the movie, read it afterwards. You know, this right now we're in the season of Lent. We are focused on the Passion narrative, right? We're going to have like Passion Sunday coming up. We're going to have evenings like Monday, Thursday, and we're going to have Good Friday and Easter morning. We're going to have times to look into that particular part of Scripture and to hear large chunks of it read. Read it yourself. Encourage other people to read it, because that's where you're going to find the real story, not in a movie like this. This movie is utilizing the text to tell a story. It's not the actual story itself. One thing that's kind of interesting is a lot of people may know this sculpture by Michelangelo, and actually there's been a whole pile of them right from the 1300s called the Pietà, right? And it's Mary, you know, the mother of Jesus, holding Jesus' dead body after it has come down off of the cross, but before it's placed in the tomb. And it was a focus of devotion for centuries, even now. That is a moment that is not described in the text of Scripture. But people think of it as though it is. So it's not just movies that do this kind of a thing, like the question. It's also fine art. It's other areas in life. So, again, always go back to the text of Scripture to look for the account of what happened.
So in that vein, with about 30 seconds here, the movie Risen, if we were to, say, compare it to Michelangelo's Pietà and say, you know, Michelangelo depicts this snapshot of time never delivered in the New Testament that could have happened, but certainly makes a strong statement about the incarnation, all of those things. I mean, it's a marvelous statement made there by that sculpture. Does, as art in its own genre, does Risen remain faithful enough to make that kind of a statement about the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
It, maybe it's a good way to think about it. It's not as good as Michelangelo's Pietà, let's just say. But it is a movie in which Jesus is shown as risen from the dead. Does it do everything that you want it to do? It does not. It does not convict Clavius of his sin. It does not give Clavius clear gospel that his sin died with Jesus at the cross. That I wish it would have. It could have had it. It doesn't have it. And again, in part, I think, because they want to leave it a mystery as to where Clavius is right to the last second of the film. And I think maybe because they want that to play on the minds of the people watching the film as well. Who's left over to clean up the mess? Well, people like you and me and our dear listeners. So when you're out there talking with people about this or engaging with them online, be sure to direct back to Scripture itself, where the clearest, best, most accurate saving word of God is found, the actual word of God that gives the true account of what happened.
Congratulations, Nathaniel in Minnesota. You'll be receiving the $40 AMC gift card via email. And thanks to everybody for your questions, your comments. For Pastor Ted Giese, as reviewed in our second part, the movie Risen. Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And Pastor Giese also taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we've started a new series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We were doing top three verses. Last time we did top three verses on infant baptism. This time we're going to take up the subject, the devil's destruction at the cross will be in the book of Hebrews in 1 John and then in the book of Revelation chapter 12 to talk about the devil's destruction at the cross, top three verses. The series continues. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. You can receive 50% off the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series during Logia's special Reformation Sale. Books like The Church by Professor Kurt Marquardt, Christology, Law and Gospel and the Means of Grace, and Baptism by Dr. David Scare, and Eschatology by Dr. John Stevenson. Browse before you buy at logia.org. You'll even find essays by Issues, Etc., regular guests for as low as $2. Logia's Reformation Sale, logia.org, logia.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.